Vince has been housed off. Well, preacher, you say it sure beats being in the hospital. Listen, could be laid up hospital, but thank God we're not. I do appreciate an opportunity to be here, preach and this meeting. We've never been in this meeting before. Appreciate you allowing us to come. We've been down there about a little over 6 years. Before that, I preached in a nursing home. So I went from nursing home to pastor, which wasn't much difference, to be honest with you. Amen. I've been saving that for a good day. Yeah, Lord called me in the ministry in 2001. We started in preaching in nursing homes, done van ministries, picked up children, brought them to church, did all that for years and years and years, and the Lord allowed us to do the pastor down there at Victory, and we've been there ever since. I'll be there if the Lord comes or calls us home or tells us to leave. I have no intention of going anywhere else. That's where God has us to be, and that's where you need to be. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. I got this, the day that shortly after Brother Butler called me and asked me to preach and to come, the Lord laid this thought on my heart, and I've been thinking about it, pondering on it for a while. And I don't know how, you know, you don't know how a message is going to go when you get ready to prepare it, but I got a really long introduction. I know y'all have heard that before, right? And I got a very short message. My message is short, my introduction a little long to get there. But I felt like this is what the Lord had us do to get there. If I just told you the message, then we'd be done and we'd go home. You know, that's what we like to do on Sundays. But we got to stay a little bit longer today. But certainly here in Proverbs chapter number 3, we have probably one of the greatest things for Christians in our life as Christians, if we just do what it says in Proverbs chapter number 3. One of the biggest problems we see in our churches in today is the unquestioned, unwavering, and without doubt, trusting in God. I really believe that. We don't wholly rely on God. We say, well, we trust God. You know, I put my faith and trust in God. But we really, when it comes down to it, we really don't trust God. We don't have faith in God. I preached on this not long ago about the disciples, you know, they had faith of a grain of mustard seed. You could say these mountains would be removed, and they'd be removed. What the Lord told them when they couldn't heal that child. And that lunatic child. But anyways, don't want to preach on today, but I get sidetracked here if I don't be careful. But anyways, I got this thought on my mind. I'll get there. It's going to take me 2 or 3 pages before I get there, but I'll be there. Just hang on. We're going to have a little Bible study here this morning. We got plenty of time. We ain't got nowhere to go. We understand we're going to have food after a while, so you know, we got plenty of time. All right, let's turn here to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. And the Bible says, my son, forget not my laws, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He said, if you do that, he said, it'll be health. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be good for you. It'll be healthy. It'll help you if you'll do what the previous verses said. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your understanding. All these things. Lord, we thank you, Lord, this day. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, Lord, on our message this morning. Lord, we need you more than ever, Lord. in our churches across America, Lord. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, you just grant that today, Lord. Bless your preaching, your word this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job said that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to trust God.
Right.
Job said the object of the trust is the Lord. That's what we find in Proverbs chapter 3. The object of the lesson is the Lord. That's who we trusted. We will find ourselves that if we love him and serve him, we depend upon him, we trust in him and what he is doing. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, God knows what he's doing. I'm just going to put my faith and trust in him. Whatever happens, whatever's going on, God knows what's best. All things work together for good for them that are called according, you know, to God. And so, you know, his purpose. But messed that one up, didn't I? But anyways, you know, you believe God, don't you? You believe God knows what he's doing, don't you? I mean, most people, if you ask people that, you say, well, you believe God, you trust God, you know what God knows. They say, oh, yeah, I believe God knows what he's doing. And then as soon as they walk out the door, they'll say, I don't believe that preacher. I don't believe that. Preacher says, hey, you need to do that. I had someone come to me not too long ago and say, hey, I need some advice. And I gave them advice. And I knew as soon as they walked away, they weren't going to take it. You're wasting my time. You say, well, I'm going to trust the Word of God. I'm going to do what the Word of God said. And then you hear the Word of God and you don't do the Word of God. That's not trusting God. So the object of the trust is to put your trust in God and what he says. Psalms chapter 121 says, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my keeper. Him alone is the object of my trust. Him alone is the object of trust. I'm not putting my trust in nobody else. Isaiah says this, trust ye in the Lord forever, for he is the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength.
Amen.
I say we put in our trust in, not ourselves, but in the Lord. He's the object of the trust.
Now, the way we do it, we find the next thing. It's the way to trust the Lord. If you follow the trust, that's the point. In other words, we trust in the Lord, and now we're going to put it in his hand. What? In your hand. If God take care of it. In God we trust. You got that number? I'll bet you. You got that number? God, I know what dollar bill. Tell the time. Watch. Then you make me have trouble against him talking. Save me. Psalm chapter 7, verse 1 says, O Lord my God, indeed you are good, huh? What is that? There's no man, self, or anything else, only it's a. Word trust here in Psalm 7, verse 1 means to flee. Means to flee to the place, to take shelter. It applies to them, taking shelter under the shadow of the wings of protection. My daughter just sat there and just made sure. They love it. You know, she went down to the door up there, and she got two baby chicks. She took her two baby chicks to the pen, and she took right there to another puppy. That's been forever, and she had that's her, that's her. Lord God, sorry, where he is, him, please. And he said, hey, we want God to come. We will be under God's wings. Look at this problem when we can drink it. Or thieves and everyone in vain. What's the chicken? The problem is that this chicken is now this baby chicken. They have told it in that one thing. It wants it to be merciful to God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in thee, yea, in the shadows of my feet. I'll keep it forward. A sheep is mainly all, a little bit all of it. I've had hard it. All of it. Boy, that famous verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5. And I shall love the Lord thy God all thy soul, with all thy might. All, not just some, but all. I like those little words in the Bible. Ill, all, and but, and. I love those words in the Bible. But God. Isn't that a great word? But God, who is rich in mercy. I love those words. But here's the word all. Someone told me one time the word all means all. It just simply means all. Put our trust in God. Everything we got, we need to put our trust in God. Not just part of it. All of it. And we say, well, do we do that? God wants you and I to trust Him with all. That's what Job did. Job said, don't slay me. That's what Job did. Don't trust God in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Job said, what's for you? But it's for you. You've been an evil against me. But God finished. Thanks for that. In the blood of eternity, I don't know if stuff happens. I know what they have to trust God, because God knows that. I'll put myself out here under His wings and change it. And He's going to bring me through the other side, and I'm going to trust God, you know. I shall understand and fear the Lord and find Him. So we start trusting God and we in all of our ways, then we have an infallible life. He's not going to fear somewhere with you. I believe so, Lord. But we might not understand the path we're in, but we do find things. Sure, I don't want this one better thing going on. I'm sure I'm afraid like we did, so I got to pray like we're going to do. If I got to do it, I can't do it. I don't. Man's goings are all the Lord he cares. How can a man then understand his own life? consider God in all things. In God in everything you do, and give God a tenth consideration in everything. Fit thy will be different. Thy thoughts shall be as. To God and His will, if you're not following His ways, the way is to trust Him. The master is with all of our heart. The warning is lean not on thy own understanding. The occasion is in all things. And the promise is that He shall direct thy path. With all of this advice and everything here, we seek God direction. That's the difference. Seeking God's direction alone. And everything we do. No matter what it is, raising children, finances, where we going to live, where we going to go to church, pick up kids' food, who they're going to run around with, everything. Seek God's advice, God's fear. You don't wind up more than God when we chunk it and we go the other way. That's when you wow God and you start trusting God in our life. Then we see the benefits. God will give us wisdom, health, give us free path to our direction. He can make himself fall. Scriptures. We don't understand, but we know God believes. You know, a shepherd, when he leaves, he guides sheep and he keeps them going in still waters. He don't care where it's difficult. He don't take them out there in dangerous paths. He don't lead them off the side of a cliff. I've seen people come. I've seen people go. I've heard every speech under the sun. Preacher, my family, we don't have to vote. Someone else. God leads the path that is best for us. He leads the path that is best for us. Psalm that says this, for the Lord is good, he careful person. Here. faith and trust in God. And I know it's a serious problem that we have putting our faith and trust in. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized the problem in America is that we don't. I was the pastor by this morning, and I said, hey, get into the shop, man, it's not big. This stuff. Now that's good stuff. I pushed all the way just to get this going. Line up. I just do church and fire. But if I'm not getting me first, here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 26.
This is what the Lord showed me the other day. Well, it's been about a month or so ago now. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Let me get there. I'll turn to 2 Corinthians. Let a man so account us as of at let man so account us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. That's our problem. That's our problem in America today. That's our problem in our churches across America today. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's expected. A faithful person will be faithful in all parts of his life. Family, faith, friends, finances. He'll be faithful at work and in worship. He'll be faithful in prayer and in planning. Why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. If you're faithful in life, then you'll be faithful in the worship of God. Problem is people are no longer faithful. We have an epidemic in our country, and it's unfaithfulness. Now, I know I'm probably preaching to the cream of the crowd, because this is a Monday at 2:30, on President's Day. And why the Lord wants me to preach a message on faithfulness, I don't know. But here we are. The Bible says a steward. A steward is a manager. He manages his master's affairs. A steward never owns property. Are things on the property? Are things in the property? He is a caretaker of the property. We're caretakers of God's property, God's heritage. That's what we are. We're caretakers. We're God's stewards. He simply manages his master's affairs. And he has to manage it, the Bible says, faithfully. Faithfully. Now, I drove up here this morning from Pale City, Alabama. I'm going to go ahead and brag right now because I got to get my bragging in. I was born and raised in Ragland, Alabama. Some of y'all might know where Ragland is. Ragland might be bigger than ball play. I don't know. You reckon it's bigger than a ball place? It does have a store. We got a Dollar General, I think. Y'all got a Dollar General? Okay, we might be bigger than y'all then. We probably outgrow y'all, but at one time I'm pretty sure we were small. I grew up in a little small town in Raglan, Alabama. Went to Providence Baptist Church. Heard old preachers all my life. Brother Sammy Allen used to come through and preach up there at Gray's Chapel. Did you ever come to Gray's Chapel and Brother Sammy used to come preach? Right there going up Macedonia Mountain. Brother Sammy come through preaching. But I drove up here on a driving license. I'm holding them up here. This is my Alabama state driving license. State of Alabama requires you to have a driving license. You can't operate a motor vehicle in the state of Alabama without a driving license. I'm pretty sure in Georgia you can get away with it, but it's not Alabama. I mean, I've seen some people in Georgia. I work in Georgia all the time. I might as well move to Georgia. I stay over there so much. I can make fun of Georgia people because I am probably half Georgian now, so it's been over the last 5 years working. But, you know, it's required for us to have a license. We cannot operate a motor vehicle. You get pulled over in the state of Alabama, you don't have one of these, you're going to jail. Or police gonna, you know, pay a fine or something. You gotta have one. It's required. It's not optional. It's not optional. It's required. You say, well, you can get away with it a little bit. It's also required, and this has been on the news a lot. It's required in the United States. I don't know if you knew this, but you gotta have a proof of residence to live in the United States of America. That's a law. If you're born in the United States of America, you get a birth certificate. You can get a naturalization, you know, through the immigrations or whatever. But if you're born, you get a birth certificate. That's your right to live in the United States. You're born in America. You have a right to live here. You have to have proof of that. It's required. It's not an option. If you don't have one, then you have to leave the country. Amen. Some people don't understand that, I know. You say, well, you can get by with those things. Well, here's one for these people that, I knew there was going to be some people that doubt this, say, well, you know, you Christian, you just drive a car and you don't have to have a license. You know, you always got them people in the crowd. You know, somebody's right now saying, well, I mean, you get by living in the United States. You don't got to be a citizen. They do it all the time, don't they? Sure. Well, here's you one right here. It's required. God made us to breathe air. You just start holding your breath and you see how long it's going to be before you have to breathe. We have to have air. It's required. Oxygen, we have to have oxygen in our brain to live. You stop breathing, in about 3 minutes, you're going to fall out on that floor right there. We're going to have to call the EMTs and haul you off up here to the hospital and gas. You're going to be dead in a hammer because you ain't breathed. It's required. You have to breathe. It's not an option. You're getting my point, right? It's not an option. It's required. And it's not a recommendation either. That's what's wrong with our churches in America. It's a recommendation now. Well, you know, we're going to have some food here in a little while. Me and Brother Tim's going to enjoy it, maybe. I'm sure he and others as well. And while we're going through the line, I might look at Brother Tim and say, hey, have you tried that chicken? It's pretty good. That's a recommendation. He want to try the chicken. It's good. Or maybe some desserts out there. Somebody say, you want to try that dessert, boy? It's really good. See, that's a recommendation. Now, it's not required that I eat it. I probably would, but, you know, it's not required. It's an option, right? We turn faithfulness into an option. It's a recommendation is what it is. In our churches across America, it's service to God. It's turned into a recommendation. That's what it's turned into. At one time, when we were growing up in our churches across America, people were required to be in the house. Preacher expected you to be in church on Sunday. And if you didn't preach, if you wasn't in church, buddy, he got you Sunday night or whenever you come back. Right. He let you know that you wasn't in church. Because it was required for you to be in. Somewhere down the road, we lost that.
Yes.
The Bible says that in a stewardship, it's required of a man. It's not an option. It's required.
Amen.
Turn over to Matthew chapter 25, and I'll show you some examples here of some faithful people and unfaithful people. And what happens is in our churches, we, and let me just say this, I'm going to go ahead and touch on this because I raised kids. I raised three kids. I got nine grandbabies now. The Lord's blessed us. Have all the kids you can have, raise all the kids you can have, and just multiply. The Bible said be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
When I was raised up as a child, my dad, it was not an option. My dad said, do what you did. I wasn't as mean as my dad. And I thought my dad was a little overbearing. So when I rose my kids up, I said, you know what, I ain't going to do it that way. Because, you know, my dad, he was kind of hard on me. So I'm going to let them have their, you know, let them pick. Boy, that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. It took me years to get that out of them children. Some good preaching and church and rehabilitation. We finally got it out of them, I think. That's the worst thing you ever do. You know, I see these parents now, and bless their hearts, they got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and they're over there now. Do you want this, John? You want it? Oh, you don't want that? Well, do you want this? You want that? Yeah. We used to go out and eat. Mom ordered you food, put it on the table, and that's what you eat.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, wow, it's the greatest thing ever. You get to choose. No, it's not. You got to teach children at the very early age that some things are required. It's required to go to bed at a certain time. It's required that you say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. It's required that you mind, you set still. It's amazing that you can take one child, he can sit still, and you got another child over here bouncing off every seat in the church, dragging mama, dragging me in and out of church. What in the world is going on? That child's had options. He gets options all the time. Well, Johnny, if you'll sit still, mama give you some candy out of church. Hey, man, it's an option. It's not required. That's the problem. Let me move on. I'm going to end up getting in trouble. Won't never get to come back. That's 14. 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered them to the goods. And to every one had 5 talents, another 2, the other 1, and the other according to his severe ability, straightway took his journey. And when he received the 5 talents, went his way and traded the same and made them 5 more talents. And likewise, the other had 2 talents, also gained 2 others, or another 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged it in our earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckon with them. So now we have the reckoning day. And the ones that was that took the talents and done something with them and multiplied them, he said, the Lord said unto him, verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful sir. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He said, faithful over a few things.
Oh.
There's that word, faithful. Faithful. Just being faithful. But that one that wasn't faithful, you know, he cast them into the place there where they said they'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Faithful, unfaithful. Bible says over in Proverbs, a slothful man saith there is a lion in the way and a lion in the street. You ever notice people's always got an excuse why they can't do something?
Oh. Yes.
Sinners are always arguing with God about something. They've always got some reason to justify what they're doing. Why they can't do this, why they can't do that. They blame others besides themselves. One thing you can count on an unfaithful person is this, that they will be unfaithful. That's the only thing you can count on. We can call a work day at church. I'll announce it. Pre-recording this, ain't we? I hope my church folks ain't watching. We'll call a work day at church. I'll announce it 3-4 weeks ahead of time. And that Saturday come around, I'll have that Sunday. I'll say, "Brother, I'll be there, but I'm okay. Every excuse, it's just the way it is. That's the way we are. Faithful. Preacher, I'd be there Sunday, but I got out of bed and stomped my toe, and my toes hurt. I'd come, but I sat on the bleachers all day Saturday watching Bobby play ball, and I just can't make church Sunday.
Come on.
Faithful. Faithful. Got an excuse for everything, don't they?
Yes.
We see it all the time. Look over in Luke chapter 16. I'm fixing to sum her up here in a minute. Luke 16. I'm still on my introduction. My message is one page, I'm telling you. Luke 16, verse 10. I figured since I was come from Aubrey Brown's church, I had to preach Iron Hass, for y'all wouldn't think I was worth flip. You know what I mean? Yeah. You'd feel bad, wouldn't you? You're like, yeah, he didn't come from Aubrey's church, did he? Now, that's what I was thinking. He'd be like, our own high boy got in Aubrey's church. I don't preach that long in church, still.
Hey, brother, he pastored here too.
I know. He said, I'm on the last point. I got 10 more behind that one. Luke 16, one verse 10. He that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much. Whoa, there it is. He that is faithful in least is also faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who would commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. We either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God wants you and I to be faithful. He don't want us to be unfaithful. Unfaithful things of God leads to spiritual failure. Every time. See it so many times in our lives. Some words you and I don't know where it was, but some words in the church, we made faithful an option, not a requirement. The Bible says it's required. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. We no longer require. Hold on now. We no longer require the reading of God's word. It's an option. When it comes to reading God's word, it's no longer a requirement in our heart. It's an option. Well, if I can get around to it, I'm tired. Hey, nobody works more than I do. And I know how it is. But when the word of God becomes an option in your life, you're going to become a spiritual failure.
Yes.
Every time.
Yes.
Every time. It's required. You have to read the Bible. You got to study this scripture. It refreshes every day. It's new every morning, the Bible says.
Amen.
Every morning. It's not an option. We no longer see prayer as a requirement, but an option. Well, boy, I went all day and
Man, I forgot to pray. Bible says when you rise up in the morning, pray. Throughout the day, pray. When you lay down at night, pray.
Amen.
Someone says pray always. I told my church that means you walk around in a, you're not walking around praying constantly, but you have a heart of prayer.
Amen.
And a spirit of prayer.
That's right.
It's not an option. Mamas quit praying for babies.
Hello.
Daddies quit praying for children. Grandmas quit praying for them grandkids. No, prayer is not an option. It's a requirement.
Amen.
And we made it an option. Church attendance is a requirement, not an option for me. We no longer see church attendance as a requirement. We see it as an option. We can't even get here on time, much less come. We no longer see witnesses as a requirement. Man, they're lost and dying world after. They're dying every day, going to hell. And we don't care because we don't see it as a requirement. It's become an option. When witness becomes a requirement, then you'll do it every day.
Oh.
I told my church a while back, I preached on this, not on this message here, but I preached on witnessing. And I said, during 2026, I'm praying that God will give us an opportunity as a church to be a witness at work every day to somebody. Just be a witness. You don't got to preach them a sermon. Just let them know about God. They don't know God loves them. God cares for them. I was at the doctor this morning getting checked out. The guy walked in and told the lady at the front desk, he said, you know God loves you? I started to jump up and shout.
Okay,
first time I heard somebody witness to somebody so long. It ain't the preacher's job. It's not the preacher's job. We don't see it as a requirement. We see it as an option. Everything now is a recommendation. And let me say it's a wreck because of recommendations.
Yes.
That's what we're in today.
Yes.
We're in a wreck because of recommendations. That's what we're in. We as a church, we must see God and serve Him as a requirement. Just as we have to breathe air. It's not a choice. Now, I appreciate everybody's here this morning. I appreciate you faithfully serving God. I know you're the cream of the crowd. But I want you to ask yourself this morning, am I faithfully serving God? I think about Joseph. The Bible says Joseph was steadfast, unwavering in his faithfulness to God in everything he did, Joseph. Joshua, the Bible says he was determined to serve the Lord. He says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see Ruth and her unwavering loyalty to her mother in her service to God. We see Daniel committed to prayer and obedience in his faith to God. Daniel said, I will not defile myself with the king of flee.
Right.
We see Simeon. Simeon there in the temple all those years waiting on the consolation of the Lord that he could see the Messiah. And he saw the Messiah and he said, Lord, let me depart now. I've seen the Messiah.
Yes.
That's faithfulness, isn't it?
Yes.
I think about Phoebe. Over in Romans.
Yes.
Turn to Romans 16. I'm closing with this one. Romans 16. We got to read this one.
Oh,
I think about old Phoebe over here. She ain't mentioned much in the Bible, but here she is. When they that are strong, come in 15. I commend unto thee Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sisera, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many. Where it is, isn't it? A succor of many. That means she has took care of many. She has ministered to many. And he said, and of myself, Paul says. And of myself. Just a faithful helper. Just a faithful servant. All these are faithful. Paul says, faithful unto the end. Paul said, I've finished my course. Unwavering to the end. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Well, I want to stand before my Lord, and I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's what He wants, is faithfulness. Well, if we could get the faithfulness part down, we'd take care of Proverbs chapter 3. Wouldn't be no problem trusting God. Wouldn't be no problem leaning on your own understanding. Wouldn't be no problem giving all your ways to God. Wouldn't be no problem in all the things that takes place in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, yes. All that stuff would be easy, easy compared to faithfulness. The Lord told His disciples, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to these mountains, be here, it's removed. They'd be cast into the sea. Our problem in our church is that we don't have faith. We're not faithful. He said, just be faithful in the little things. It's required for us to be faithful. It's not an option. And we've made it an option. It's your home church. You ought to be faithful to every meeting, every service, every night. Preacher expects you to be here. He needs you to be here. Why? Because it's required. It's not an option. Lord, we thank you, Lord, this day. Thank you, Lord, this time. I pray, Lord, you bless this meeting. Lord, speak to hearts, Lord, in this invitation, Lord, we're about to have, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brother. I'll let you take care of the invitation.